shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. Here the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and it is now time for our News and Information Hour. So we will dispense with the phone calls, although we do give you our phone number, just so it burns its way onto a neural pathway in your brain, so you never forget it, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people will call up on a talk show and always know the phone number.
Yeah, those people, Bud, are what we call people with, altogether,
no life.
No life, exactly. I'm not trying to be critical, but if you know by heart the phone numbers of different talk shows, you really, really got to get out and find yourself some hobbies, some things to do, you know. Speaking of things to do, one of the things you can do is, and you don't have to tell me I almost belched, but I know.
Yeah, what is that about anyway? You almost belching everything.
I don't know, but I'm not going to talk to you about it. This is a Monday night show, okay? I even yawned tonight. That shows you how relaxed this show is. There's no news, man. What do you want me to tell you? The only news that really matters is the news that we're bringing up, and so far it's been about breast cancer and something else that was so exciting I forgot. All right. First of all, we have our Best of 1994 CD for sale on our website. This is from the days when we were at WIOD in Miami, and we had a great radio station down there, I will tell you. No lie, we had a great radio station down there with myself, if I do say so myself, Neil Rogers, Rick and Suds, Aaron Summers, Jeff DeForest. We had Dolphin Football with Mad Dog Jim Mandich and Kim Bocamper, and we just had a great crew of people. It was a lot of fun. Now, what we're doing in our shop is we're selling downloads, individual downloads, or the entire CD. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to play a cut for you, but I'm having a very... Oh, here it is, digital downloads. I wonder if I'll be able to do this, bud.
You have to probably buy one.
I gotta buy one? Come on, man, it's my own work. It's my own work, you understand? Why would I buy one? Oh, this is bad. This is not gonna work here. I guess the other thing that I could do is I could actually... you know, go over and put this in the CD player, and that way we don't have to mess around, you know. Here's our GM, Bob Green. How do I play this? I guess you got to buy it. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It would necessitate me walking all the way over to the CD player and putting it in the CD player. I can't do that right now. I cannot take the time.
I don't know how to use it. I do it for you.
Yeah, I know. I cannot take the time and do that, but when we come back from the first break, I'll roll actually my favorite one, which is the Mad Dog Jim Mandich bit. It's called Cooking with Jim Mandich. Him and Kim Bocamper are in the kitchen, and...
Who are they named Kim Bocamper? What kind of name is that?
That's the name of a football player. What do you mean, what kind of name is that?
I remember, was he like on a Miami Dolphin?
Yes, he was a Miami Dolphin. He was a middle linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. Kim Bocamper, might have been a right end. I don't know what Kim played. But he was a very good football player. And the other was Jim Mandich. You ever heard of him?
Uh-oh.
He was a tight end, and he played for the Dolphins in the 70s. He also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had three Super Bowl rings. He had two from his days with the Dolphins, and he wore another one from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, and Jim has passed on now. He died last year in his early 60s, far too young. He was a hell of a nice guy. And I really miss a lot of them. A lot of those cats are gone, man. Neil's gone now. Jim Mandich is gone. I don't know who else. But I miss those days with those guys. It was so much fun. I have to tell you, it was one of those radio stations where just anything could happen and did. And management, it was very rare to have management that would back you up, but they did. They got our back on everything. And, of course, everybody was unhappy, and that made it was almost like being on the 1973 Oakland A's when everyone hated each other's guts, and they still won a World Championship. That was sort of the way it was. Not that we hated each other's guts, but we still hated management.
Yeah, but you said you liked that Bob Green guy.
I did. Bob Green, who was our general manager, I did like him, and now he runs a grocery store. No, he doesn't. Yeah, that character is based on Bob Green. And we had a program director named Steve Nickel. But some of the bits here on our 610 WIOD CD are as follows. Escaped Convict, where an actual convict was escaped and out and on the loose. We've got a very early Steve Bozell bit. We've got a bit called Wayne's Man Chip. Wayne Huizenga, who owned the Dolphins and the Marlins, was always in the crosshairs, and so we were doing bits on him and the Jim Mandich thing. But when we come back, we'll play the Mandich clip. But anyway, this is all available for download on our website, so you go over and click on the cut you like, or you can buy the entire CD at philhenryshow.com. Just head on over there and grab it, baby. Just grab it. Or get a full BSP. You know, that's a backstage pass, and you can see the stuff that we do here at night, man.
Yeah. Yeah, people probably missed seeing you yawn. That would have been great.
Yeah, you should have gotten a backstage pass tonight and watched the show so you could see me yawn. Just means that I'm relaxed, you know?
Yeah, you must be bored to tears.
Tonight? Yes, I am. Probably the audience is, too. I don't know, you know? It's Christmas. It's close to the season where no one's doing anything other than eating fruitcake and behaving like a fruitcake. And,
probably eating pound cake and pounding it. And
will you shut up?
Man, what about the Bueller line? That's a pretty good line.
It's not bad, eating pound cake and pounding it. Nonetheless, it is that time of year, so that's the kind of radio we're going to do around here, man. We've got our slippers on, and that's just where it's at, you know? By the way, are we going to do our Christmas carol or not?
Probably.
We, you know, every year we roll our best of, every year we roll our Christmas carol, which is Phil Henry's Christmas carol, in which it's Ebenezer Dickman, right?
Yeah, I play Ebenezer Dickman, and you're Bob Cratchit, or whatever the guy's called.
Bob Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit, huh?
Cratchit Rocket.
Bob Cratchit, that's who I play. And I think, Robert, you have a part in it. So on either Christmas Eve this year or a day before, maybe, I think we like do it on the 23rd, we'll have Phil Henry's Christmas Carol. Now, here is another earth-shattering bit of information, no pun intended. It's a question that the human race has been asking for centuries, and one that NASA's Roger Hunt and his team of more than 80 technicians, engineers, and scientists are now trying to answer. As the manager of the Kepler Space Telescope Project, Hunter leads NASA's first mission to search our galaxy for Earth-sized planets orbiting inhabitable zones of their stars. The region around a star where temperatures permit water to be liquid on a planet's surface. This condition is essential for the existence of life as we know it, in the galaxy, in a region around the star we, and then the sentence just screwed up and put it in my face, bud.
Yeah, it needs to be printed again.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what they're figuring. They're figuring if they can find planets the size of ours that are in the same relative orbit as ours to their star as we are to ours, then they feel that that planet is in a temperate, a habitable zone, as they call it. Habitable zones of the stars, the region around a star where temperatures permit water to be liquid. In order for life to exist, there has to be water.
Yeah, but that's only on if there's that kind of life.
What do you mean if there's that kind of life?
Well, what about like, what if life don't need water?
Yeah, I mean, it could be like, remember the one show you told me about, that one guy was made out of gas or something?
He wasn't made out of gas. It was a hydrogen-based, we're carbon-based life. And in this Outer Limits I was looking at, this guy was from a planet where it was hydrogen-based.
Yeah, so the guy was like Gas Man or something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Gas Man. Yeah, that's about it. It was the stupidest show because it started out really cool. Cliff Robertson played a janitor, and he's a janitor at this lab where they're trying to contact life on other planets. And there he is one night, 1 o'clock in the morning, flushing toilets and emptying waste paper baskets. And suddenly it comes in over the, you know, thing. It's like a life form is trying to contact him, you know.
Yeah, but man, they're not going to leave a janitor looking at, are they?
Who knows, Robert? I mean, it's a TV show, okay? So,
Probably be better have a janitor look at it.
I don't know, bud. But anyway, the guy's looking at this, and it's suddenly a being from another planet. And the being is able to transmit his thoughts or his language or whatever into the mind of the human. So they're conversing. They're conversing. And as you can well imagine, it was one of those poignant shows where, aha, yes, two beings from different worlds, completely different kinds of beings, and they are the lowest person on the totem pole in their respective society. This one guy's a janitor on Earth, and this hydrogen guy, you know.
But probably hydrogen janitor in the hydrogen land.
Well, they don't call it that, man.
Oh, who cares what they call it, right? Yeah, you're right, bud. He's a janitor in hydrogen land. So anyway, so that's the sort of the poignant beauty of it. These two low-level guys are working it out. They're talking to each other, and they ask each other these questions, you know. And at one point, the human asks the hydrogen guy, do you have any concept of God? You know, do you have any concept of a life force larger than you? And at somehow the hydrogen guy says, we do. He says that it's, you know, it's some sort of a spiritual force that they believe in, too. So that was the theme of the show. And it would have been fantastic had it ended right there. But no, it didn't.
What happened?
Somehow the hydrogen guy is able to make his way onto Earth, getting through this telecommunicator that he was talking to the guy. And the next thing you know, you have this floating, gaseous, you know, and of course, it's special effects TV version, 1963 TV version. So it's pretty cheesy, you know.
Are you kidding me, man? What did I do?
Oh, so this guy, the hydrogen guy, gets loose in the neighborhood. I seem to remember this guy floating down a street, you know.
Yeah, probably with what, little kid get his baseball stolen or something?
Whatever, bud. So, yeah, I seem to recall this hydrogen guy floating down a street. Who knows? Back in those days in the science fiction movies, how did they deal with guys from other planets? They brought in the army, you know, and an anti-aircraft, some kind of artillery. All right, we got to get the army. Remember all those movies? They'd have all these army guys, all these trucks, and all these soldiers, and they always had the artillery. That's what you got to have, you know, to blow the monster up. So check that one out, man. All right, anyway, so they're looking for this planet, and if they find it, I guess they'll let us know. It was launched on March the 6th, 2009. It's the Kepler Space Telescope. It's named after astronomer Johannes Kepler, who developed the laws of planetary motion. It's the largest telescope launched into deep space beyond Earth's orbit. Kepler is the best little planet finder ever made, said Dr. Hunter, so that's what they're looking for. All right, we're going to come back with more news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see how Newt's doing. He's defending Donald Trump as a moderator for a debate that Ron Paul wants nothing, I mean nothing, to do with. And, oh, the news is so wonderful. Rosie O'Donnell is engaged.
To what?
She's engaged. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Good to have you with us here this evening. Now, as a part of our introducing you to our new download feature over there at philhendryshow.com, what I was going to do this evening, and we are now finally able to do that. As a matter of fact, as soon as I loaded the CD in there, bud, iTunes took over and has imported the whole CD.
Look at all those green check marks and stuff.
Exactly. Now, this CD is available for download at philhendryshow.com. It's also available by individual track. Now, this is one of my favorites, and I'm going to play it for you right now. It is a track that spoofs the late, great Jim Mandich and the currently great and still alive Kim Bocamper. It's called Cooking with Jim Mandich, and he was a Dolphin tight end, as I mentioned, is a sportscaster with us. And Kim is the slower sounding guy. Kim's a big dude. He's not dumb, but he just, you know, I don't know.
Sounded dumb.
He didn't sound dumb, but just the two of them together was fantastic. So here is then Cooking with Jim Mandich.
The Phil Hendry Show now presents Cooking with Mandich and Bocamper.
Greatest football team. We take the ball.
Another tasty recipe like no from the cookbook of Jim Mandich, former Dolphin great, and Kim Bocamper, former Dolphin great,
and when you
current broadcasting great.
You're talking Super Bowl.
Now let's go into the kitchen with Jim Mandich and Kim Bocamper.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jim Mandich and we're in the WIOD That's right, Kim. Just cut that in a very, very fine chunks there. Those are celery sticks that we're going to be using. And I like celery. A lot of people badmouth celery. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to bang on this all year. I like celery. Anybody badmouth celery in front of me, and I tell you, friend, you're going to be disappointed. Kim, you doing all right with that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, I really like celery, too.
All right, Dad. We don't want your opinion. I'm just asking you, are you cutting the celery up?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Jim.
All right. Kim Bocamper, great Dolphin. Now, the other thing that we're going to do tonight is we're going to have...
Well, what about me?
What do you mean, what about you?
What about the Kim Bocamper recipe that you said we were going to be able to do?
Oh, God, that's right. All right, what recipe? Well, we're going to have to do Kim's recipe tonight. I'm sorry, Kim, I forgot about that. What is the Kim Bocamper recipe for tonight?
Well, I'll tell you right now, a thing that I used to like and a thing that really beefed me up so I could play with the big boys is something my grandmother always made for us. And I think you're going to enjoy this, Jim. I think the people at home are going to enjoy it, too. It's called a Nana Sandwich.
What'd you call that again?
A Nana Sandwich.
It's called a Nana Sandwich. What is a Nana Sandwich?
Well, a lot of people know it as a Nanner Sandwich, a Nana Sandwich. And you take a Nanner and you...
Yeah, what do you mean, what is a Nanner? I'm going to take a Nanner. What is a Nanner?
Well, it's a banana.
You mind if we call it a banana? Do we have to call it a Nanner?
You know, you better beef up.
Yeah, I'll beef up later. What are you going to do with this Nanner?
Well, it's a Nanner sandwich, and you put it right here. You squish it between the bread, and then, you see, isn't that nice?
Oh, God, I want to vomit. I want to vomit. You squish the Nanner in there?
And then you just put a match to the gas stove.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do...
I don't know. I like that bit.
Pretty funny.
Well, anyway, so that's Jim Mandich, and, you know. Now, here is one that you guys might find interesting. This is Steve Bozell. Before he was Steve Bozell, this is when he was called Steve Warnell. And here he is engaging some caller about something. I forget what the topic was, but it had to do with football, maybe. And that was always the topic in South Florida. We were always talking Dolphins and, you know, and our audience was, it's Miami, you know. And Miami does not, they don't get tense about the rest of the crap that the country does when everybody's worrying about the president. When you're in Miami, what you want to talk about is partying, football, and things like that. So, here is a bit called Steve Warnell. This was when Steve was not the crybaby that he is in Corona, California. This is when he was a Dallas businessman, and he's talking to this caller about, well, let's see what he's talking about.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm new in town. I just got here like in June, July, mm-hmm. and I just started listening. And I don't know who you are, but I've listened to the Dolphins over the last 5-6 years, and you're a moron.
I'm sorry, sir. You've been covering professional football for 25 years.
Where, in the CFL?
No, in the United States of America.
Yeah, okay? In the American, probably arena football.
Now, there's where Dan Marino would be good.
In arena football?
You're a moron. Nobody here in South Florida wants to listen to you.
Hey, listen, you clown. You've only been here 2 months yourself. So
well, that's right, but at least I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, watch you kiss up to all the Dolphin fans out there. I tell the truth.
Hey, I can care less.
You're trying to get in good with all them Dolphin fans.
Hey, I'm a Dallas fan.
All right, let's not get argumentative.
I'm a Dallas fan, and I know more about football than you do, and I know all about those Dallas.
You could all
about those. Hey, I know about those Dallas rings.
You couldn't possibly. Yeah, and that's the whole thing about Jimmy Johnson.
But you're not telling the truth.
I am telling the truth. I know Jimmy Johnson personally. I met him over to my house.
I've seen the ring. I've seen the ring, and he handed it to me, and I looked at it.
Uh-huh.
And it had nothing in the ring about something about a duplicate copy or
his owner's copy.
No way.
Oh, get out of here.
No way.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I don't know who to believe here.
Well, you should believe me.
Wait a minute.
What?
You don't know me. I'm a disinterested party here. You have no idea who I am. I could care less about this moron, this idiot.
You can call me sticks and stones can break my bones. The worst thing
you ever got to hear. Right.
But I'll tell you something right now. I saw Jimmy's ring.
Well, Well, first of all, it wasn't Jimmy's ring that you saw. That's number one.
I did. He just got it in the mail.
In the mail?
Yes, they said that damn right.
It came in the mail?
Yeah, well, they did deliver it from Dallas, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Pick it up in person.
With a 29-cent stamp on it, right?
No, it came in shirt.
You're a moron.
You're the moron.
No, I don't want to talk to you. Hang up the phone.
Do you know
Hang up the phone.
All right, I got to run.
I got to go. Somebody's got to go.
Notice my voice.
Yeah, that's speed it up.
No, that's not speed it up. That's what my voice sounded like. That's 1994. I was 42. Wait a minute. Yeah. 42. I was 41, something like that. Yeah, but it's funny how your voice, man, it's weird. All right, we'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. That's a cut from our 1994 CD, Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, Steve Wornell.
Woo! Phil Henry.
Yeah, I did sound young, and the human voice, it's amazing. I can listen. I've got tapes of myself when I was 16, and I don't know if anybody listening, I don't know if you guys have audio tapes of yourself. Most people don't like to hear themselves on tape. First of all, most people don't like to hear themselves on tape because they don't realize that's how they sound, you know. But you've heard yourself on tape.
Yeah, it's pretty much how I sound.
You, Robert?
I didn't like it at first.
But you came to realize that's how you sound.
Yeah.
But I think because you guys are on the radio with me. But most people are not used to hearing their own voices that much. So when they do, it really bums them out because I think we hear our voices through our skull. That's you know.
What do you mean?
When you hear your voice just now talking, say something, Bud.
Hi, I'm Bud Dickman.
Okay, what you just heard there is coming through your skull.
Not my mouth.
It's coming out of your mouth, yeah, but it's also reverberating through your skull, and it is reverberating through the skull into the ears. It's also being heard by way of the sound waves in the air, but there's much more of a sound apparatus at work there, and so you sound a certain way. In your whole life, when you talk, you hear your voice through not only your ears, but you hear a sort of background reverberation that is going through the literally through your skull. So you sound slightly different when you're talking to yourself than you do when you hear yourself on a tape recording. The tape recording of yourself is the accurate sound of your voice. And a lot of people are disquieted by it. They don't like the way they sound. I had a friend of mine who was born in Iran, but she was raised in London, England. Her father was very wealthy, and he used to work for the Shah of Iran, so, you know.
You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. Her old man was loaded, and he worked for the Shah, and he got the family out of Iran before the whole thing went down. And anyway, she was raised in London, in boarding schools in London. And then later on, after she left the boarding schools, she went to London and became a music promoter. And she was in the clubs there, and she was with a lot of groups. She promoted Culture Club and groups like that before they really took off. But she had this finishing school British accent, whereas most of the kids that she was hanging with were all these sort of Cockneys, you know, and they were kind of lower-class kids. She had this finishing school, higher education British accent, and she hated it.
Why?
Because she had made her sound. She said she heard herself on tape once, and she said, "Who is that cow?"
Cow?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't like the way she sounded. She thought she sounded pretentious and cow-like, you know.
Man, most people want to sound good. She didn't want to sound good, huh?
Well, to her, that wasn't sounding good. To her, that sounded, she sounded like some pretentious cow, yeah. So, there you go. You know, and yet, you know, she did. She had one of those accents, very, you know, very proper and all that. Well, you know, I think I'm going, you know, that kind of, I don't know how the hell they, you know, talk, but.
That, what you just did right there sounded like a guy that likes other guys. You know?
Why don't you shut up? A guy that likes other guys.
Well.
Anyway, Donald Trump and Newsmax. Are hosting a debate in Iowa in the run-up to next month's primary season. Both Ron Paul and John Huntsman have turned down the reality TV show star's offer. Presumptive GOP frontrunner Newt Gingrich said he will attend the debate, however, and after a meeting with Trump has come to his future moderator's defense against the comments made by the Paul campaign. Guess the Ron Paul campaign thought it was too much of a clown act. I don't mind Trump. You know what I mind? Newsmax. That's if ever there was a propaganda sheet, it was that and World Net Daily. Those two pretend to be actual wire service news agencies, actual valid news gathering organizations. They're not. They're propaganda sheets. I mean, you know, probably some people that like them would probably, well, what do you call the New York Times, Phil? I will give you this, that the New York Times is liberal, there's no question, but the New York Times actually reports news. You know, they actually have, well, here's what happened. Newsmax can't even do that. I don't think they have people that are qualified to do that. So after a nearly hour-long meeting at Trump Tower, Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich, and I'm sure they probably had finger sandwiches or something like that.
Yeah, I bet, man, when you meet at the Trump Tower, I bet you he served all kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. You think they had lunch?
No question they had lunch. He probably, Donald Trump probably, hey, Newt, baby. Brought him in, had a big spread. Probably had some damn good stuff going on there, man.
Probably had, like, roast beef.
Roast beef, you name it. Why are we talking about that?
Because that's probably how he gets Newt Gingrich to be on a debate.
No, bud, I don't think he got Newt Gingrich to be on the debate because he served roast beef or had a big spread. I think he did because, hey, Donald Trump is the kind of guy that can, he commands attention. A lot of people like Donald Trump. I liked Donald Trump until he butchered alive his campaign chant. I couldn't believe how stupid he was. Donald Trump is a smart guy because he's made a lot of money and he understands business. He has a marvelous sense, I think, for, you know, obviously what is wrong with the country in terms of business and economics and what needs to be righted. But then when he decided to run for president, I don't know what happened to the guy. He just all of a sudden went dumb. He got a bad case of dumb. He decided that the very first thing he was going to do, after all of that great stuff he said about the Chinese and oil and self-sufficiency and the dollars and the trade and the this and the really great stuff. And I remember thinking, boy, this is for the first time here's a guy that's talking with authority about the economy. Now the guy decides he's going to run for president, and the first thing out of this guy's yap is the Obama birth certificate. And you may think that that was a great idea, and there's probably a lot of people that may think that that was a great idea, but here's one voter that it turned off, and guess what? Newsflash, a whole bunch of other people, too. What the hell are you doing, man? Why don't you let the other jackasses do that? Let the lightweights and the brain surgeons do that, okay? Let the silly people like whoever, who was on that birth certificate thing anyway?
I don't know, it's probably like Ron Paul, people like that.
I don't think Ron Paul was. Don't hang Ron Paul with that one. Romney, I think it was just a little flight of idiots, just enough of them to make it into an embarrassing thing, right? And sure enough, Trump goes for that. That was number one. I was stunned. I was stunned. I said, are you that pathetic? Do you need that? Are you kidding? Do you not think the American people are going to follow you when you talk about economics? I would have, and I'm not that bright. Believe me when I tell you, when it comes to this, economics, I'm not that bright, but I could follow what Donald Trump was talking about. There was that, and then, of course, the nail in the coffin was the night before Osama got taken out by the SEALs, Obama was at a dinner of some kind. And Trump was there. And I remember Trump staring Obama down while Obama was giving a series of comments as if, oh, man, I'm pissed off. And this guy, I'm going to hold him accountable. And he just looked humorless. And he might have even made some comments that really stuck it in his back that night as well. But he looked like, in my opinion, looked stupid. But maybe he still had credibility. But when the following evening arrived, that Sunday night, the 1st of May or whenever it was, when Obama announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed, that was the end for Trump. He was done. He was over and done with. That was it. Because, number one, Obama did something that Bush couldn't do, and that every one of those humorless-looking clowns on the GOP side couldn't get done. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they could not have eventually, but Obama found Osama and killed the sumbitch, right? And then, of course, the birth certificate thing became, I think he finally did, you know, get the birth certificate from Hawaii, but nonetheless, it was moot. And so that really took the wind right out of, and that was the end for Trump. He could have been the nominee of the Republican Party had he stuck to what he knew, which was the economics, and that was that's the single most important thing of the campaign. But this guy had to stray into Obama birth certificate territory. What a jackball.
Man, I didn't even think about it that way.
Now you put it that way, man, now it all begins to add up, you know.
All begins to add up.
Yeah. I mean, before, you know, I was wondering, well, what's wrong with this guy? And then what you just said right now, well, I tell you, that was all she wrote. You know?
Hey, don't play those. I'll play those.
What?
This. I'll do that. And so, Donald Trump was finished. Thank you. Anyway.
I did better.
Fine. I'm actually very surprised that one of my friends, this is Newt Gingrich talking about Ron Paul, after Newt Gingrich sat down and had lean roast beef and whatever the hell else he had there with Trump. And Ron Paul said that he did not want to be a part of this thing because he didn't want to be a part of a circus atmosphere. I don't know. Would it be? Well, with Donald Trump moderating it, it could very well be, because what do you think of the odds that Donald Trump is going to keep his ego out of this thing, and he's not going to be, you know, cutting a few jokes, you know?
Well, he might have a couple of lines, you know, do a little patter.
He's probably going to want to do patter in between.
Patter? Are you serious, man? This guy, it's a debate. This is not a nightclub act.
Well, he's going to do a little bit of patter.
Yeah, he's got to do some fill.
He's going to do fill. All he has to do is ask the questions. Anyway, Gingrich was upset with Ron Paul. He said, I'm actually very surprised that one of my friends would have said that. Gingrich talking about Ron Paul as his friend, which of course is a lie. I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm sure they're friends. I don't know. He says, this is a country of enormously wide open talent. You know, Donald Trump is a great showman. He's also a great businessman. I think that we have to be open to new ways of doing things and new ways of approaching things. He noted that an actor who appeared with a chimpanzee in the movies became president.
Who's that?
Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Yeah, Bonzo. Bedtime for Bonzo. You never heard of Bonzo?
Oh, yeah. Was that a monkey?
That was the monkey.
I was thinking of another kind of monkey.
I'm going to... Come on. All right, watch it. Watch it. Everything with you, bud, is race. Race, 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 race.
Can't let certain opportunities pass up.
I'll kick your ass, man. We'll see how many opportunities pass you up then.
Take it easy, okay? He added, I thought it was great when we agreed to do it. It's part of the process by which Americans choose. Will the rest of the candidates meet with Trump before the debate as well? It is a standard practice to meet and greet with the debate moderator before the show starts. And perhaps most importantly, can Trump fire someone at the end of the debate? Ha, 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 ha. All right. So there you have it. That is the Donald Trump debate sponsored with Newsmax. Ron Paul will not be there. John Huntsman won't be there. And John Huntsman's one of those guys. More and more I appreciate why some of these guys get into the campaign, you know. I don't really think. I think that the Barack Obama showed us that there's a reason why these people who we would call dark horses or long shots, there's a reason why they get into the campaign, because many times a party finds itself deadlocked or unable to decide or just disenchanted with the front runners. They realize what the other party is doing, maybe getting a little bit of position on them. They may be getting behind the ball. They may need to change something. They may need to freshen things up. That's why you have these other candidates, so that you can look at the back of the field and say, wait a second, maybe our guy is back here someplace and not these two clowns that we've been, you know. And Hillary Clinton, and of course the voters are the ones that decide this, at least the hardcore voters. Keep in mind, in primaries, and you guys know this, in primaries, the hardcore, the real hardcore members of the party vote. The real ideologically, you know, entrenched people in that party vote. That's why you get, in a Republican Party, you will get a real extreme case like a Pat Buchanan showing just phenomenally during the primaries. But eventually, as the masses of people get to know him, he starts to fade. Buchanan thought he was going to lead a second American Revolution. I remember when Buchanan thought, man, it's all over now, baby. We are onward and upward to the White House. He got his ass handed to him after, you know, that cheap early power that he had. That, it turns out, same thing with Hillary Clinton. So that's why it's always good to look at these guys. Huntsman, I don't know. I don't think so. But hey, you know.
They may think Ron Paul's good because he's been doing it a lot.
Who cares about that? Just a guy's running for, guy's a professional candidate. Yeah, that's great. No, I don't think it'll be Ron Paul. If they ever went to a guy that's in the back of the pack right now, you know, it could be any one of a number of people. Maybe Romney, by the time they're looking for somebody in the back of the pack, maybe he'll be in the back of the pack. Who knows? All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Back in the pack.
After these words from your and our sponsors. Don't forget PhilHenryShow.com.
Woo. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us here in our news and information hour. Now, this is, I love these stories. Fox accuses the Muppets of brainwashing kids against the rich. Now, this is the kind of thing that makes the news and really shouldn't, because it's all it is a story about a commentator on Fox News, on Fox Business News, that was commenting on the Muppets movie. And people may think it was a stupid commentary, and we'll tell you what the essence of his commentary was. Or some people might think it's dead on. But why is this a news story? It's a news story because, folks, you and I have been forced. We've been forced. Now, this is a news story. I'm not talking about commentary. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm not talking about, like, the fights that talk show hosts have. Well, you can ignore it. Who cares? Because it's silly and sort of part of the entertainment. But when a news guy, okay, is being very, very serious, a news commentator is being very, very serious about a movie and is making a comment about that movie, and he sounds like a jackass, why do you and I have to why are we brought into this as spectators of a news event? I thought it was a comment that this guy made. But this particular news gathering agency, and I think it's Business and Financial News, U.S. and International News from the Business and Financial News of Reuters, they've turned this into a news story. Hey, look at this. Eric Bolling of Fox Business News sounds like a jackass. What do you think? Well, why do you care? Because these right-winger. So you got a problem with that. So what are you doing, Reuters? Now you're keeping tabs on all the right-wingers? You know, maybe you ought to go back to using carrier pigeons or something, man. You guys were way more interesting back then. Anyway, on Fox Business Channel, anchor Eric Bolling showed a clip. Do you see how seductive this is? I'm treating this like this is news. On Fox Business Channel, anchor Eric Bolling showed a clip of the new Disney movie and suggested, well, no, he said outright that the story was aimed at planting the seeds of class warfare among our precious children. This is the commentary of the writer. He didn't, I'm sure Mr. Bolling didn't say precious children, but whoever the smartass is that wrote this did. That's because the Muppet villain is an oil baron called Tex Richmond. Bolling said, what's actually going on there? Is liberal Hollywood using class warfare to brainwash our kids? Well, of course it is. They've been doing it for decades, rejoined Fox guest Don Gaynor. Hollywood, they hate the oil industry. They hate corporate America. Now, you can say what you want about that series of comments, and the Reuters commentator himself went on to make a few jokes and sarcastic asides aimed at, you know, reducing Mr. Bolling and Mr. Gaynor to the, you know, asinine spectacle that they probably made themselves. There's no, you know, I'm not going to take any sides here, but I personally, I probably would have thought twice before I made that kind of, those series of comments. Boy, look at the Muppets, man. What are they doing? You know, I think I might have just, you know, take a chill, man. You know, just relax. But apparently, no. All right, so that's that. But the thing that is most unfair is that while Reuters is taking its shots at Fox Business News, and Fox Business News takes its shots at CNN, and CNN takes its shots at whoever, and whoever take, you and I have been forced along for the ride. We have to sit and we have to watch as these news organizations competing for our attention, our advertising dollar, and our patronage force us to accompany them on this childish ride that they're on, putting each other down. Okay, so Bowling said something stupid. Whatever. Why am I watching Fox Business News anyway? Because I want to want the business news. You might be able to say they're not doing enough business news, you know. But telling me about whether this guy's got an opinion, who cares, man? I mean, seriously. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by our good friend Dan Northcraft, as well as our good friend Mr. Fred Scotty. And, of course, the Phil Hendry Show is online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your .com needs. Don't forget, it's the philhendryshow.com. That's where we go and sell our best-of CDs. That's where we go to sell our best of everything, man. As far as I can tell, everything we do is just the best. We'll be back tonight. Thanks for hanging with us on this Monday night, the Phil Hendry Show, world famous.
Phil Hendry.